for the players.
Pen like a grown-up.
No, pencils are the best. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Griffin.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist position podcast. Over like, I don't know, 50 years playing PlayStation and 12-something plus years in this game's media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod, and if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to use a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other sort of shit without logos on it. But before we get into anything, let everybody, top of the show, next week, well, no, 2 weeks away, PAX Australia. Max and I will be there running around. I'll be there 3 days. Max will be there 2. Probably, maybe 3, yeah. Depending on how much you get into the...
It depends on what... I technically have a birthday party on the Sunday for, like, my cousin's firstborn child, so I probably should attend that.
First birthdays are lame, except for your one.
Whoa.
Yes, except for your one. That was lovely. That was good barbecue.
But if I have something to do, I've already tentatively said I'm not coming, and Ellie's going to take the kids and represent Clan Cooper.
This may have worked in your favor.
I'm covered if I have to be there.
That could work.
We'll see what happens.
But yes, so keep yourselves free. Saturday at 4:30 PM, Kookaburra Theatre. The panel that I'll be running with Doom Cutie, the console clash.
With not me.
With not Max on it, because there's only so much nepotism that I could do, and hence why Padge and Ash are on the panel. We're doing our Xbox versus PlayStation debate. With the Xbox creators are fighting for PlayStation, and PlayStation creators are fighting for Xbox. Be sure to come check that out. It's going to be awesome fun. Very keen to put that together. But like on top of that, they've announced all the things that will be at PAX. They've shown the map, the stalls. So we'll do our tour video that we've done every year I've ever gone.
I've planned my speedrun route for Friday.
Have you? How so? How's it going?
Of like what I'm hitting. So Lorcan has got like a massive presence there, and they've got promo card
for new
people. So I'm like going to get some free swag from there. And then I'm going to hit up a ton of other stuff, because I think I mentioned it before. I've got one of my tabletop friends is coming on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, I've kind of been like planning what I'm going to do, trying to have like a game plan, so I'm not just aimlessly fucking wandering around, wasting a lot of my time. Because I think that's what gave me the... Because obviously last year, I think I only went the Friday.
Yes, you did.
And because I aimlessly wandered and didn't have a game plan, it felt like I was there for 3 days in the one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to focus on what I'm doing, spend, some time with each thing, and then be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do Friday. I'm going to hit tabletop. I'm going to hit all that stuff. And then, on the Saturday, I'll have a look at all the games that I wanted to check out that I didn't get to see on the Friday. And then depending on how we go, come up Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. So like for myself, I
have some form of plan. So I'm not wandering around like a headless chicken.
Well, you step ahead of me, apart from the two panels I'm on, because I've got the debate panel and then I've got the wrestling themed panel at night on the Saturday. I don't have any plan. I'm just going to go with the flow. Obviously, the indies are going to be a biggie, as always. Really keep some tabletop. I hope Atomic Mass Games are back with either Shatterpoint or Marvel Crisis Protocol. I'm down to mess about with Lorcana. Excuse me. Because, like, I am keen to get into a TCG. And I think with the push that PAX Oz have this year for tabletop, I might find the one for me. I'm hoping to anyway.
The new Magic set is looking sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. But like for Magic, I'm still waiting for that one set, like the one that'll get me over the line. Like Fallout kind of got you. Like the Transformers one's cool, but I don't. That's it. So no, but I mean, excuse me, I don't care enough about Transformers enough from like a main cast perspective, because the beauty of that is like caring about all the other characters. But yeah, that should be exciting. Get very keen for that. Obviously, I don't know whether you've touched upon it. Did you put it in the news, Max, about Ask Creed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. Then we'll come to that bit later then. But anyways, as we normally do...
It's spoilers. It's
yeah, beautiful. But before we jump into that, Max, there's a funny story that we have to talk about. Before your story. So as we're sitting here a moment ago just shitting on first birthdays, your son had his first birthday. We were there. And I played my usual game. The game I love when I meet new people. Even though I know most of these people, it's a brilliant icebreaker. And the game is like, who are your celebrity outs? If you're in a relationship, who are the two celebrities that you could bang? If, you know, you went to your partner and said, look, these are the ones, I'm sorry, but you know, if the opportunity arises, these are the answers. And the fun part of the game, you get to pick a guy and a girl. Now, what makes this game fun is you really quickly learn a lot about people. What made me laugh, though, Max, I've played this game 1,000 times with very different groups of people. A mate of yours hit you up afterwards, and what did they say to you?
So what ended up happening was like a week later, and I just happened to be out for dinner with them,
yep.
And we ran into your son.
You did.
And obviously you weren't with him because you were at a wrestling show. And she's like, oh, you know, obviously they're not together anymore. They've separated because, you know, he mentioned that he has his son every other weekend and, you know, when he can. She's like, is it because he's gay? Is that why? Like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, nailed it. And I'm right on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Because the fun part about that game is, yeah, like, because at least for me, I am...
It was really weird because Ryan had like one female but like 10 males on his list. So it was just a quick assumption.
Well, no, there's a bunch of women on my list. But like the tough part with that game is like you got to be really careful. It doesn't verge on the edge of creepy too, right? So it's not about me. It's about everybody else at the table. The game is for everybody else. And as I've come to learn, I've thought about it further. It's just the way that it's a metric that I use to with my ASD brain to understand who's cool and who's not. It's a manufactured social scenario that gives me an upper hand. But it made me laugh because I am very comfortably straight, so I have no issue like complimenting or discussing like another dude's attractiveness because I just don't. It's not for me. I'm just not interested. But like I can appreciate that, so it's always very fun. Like and that is probably the first time that response has ever been vocally passed on to me, and I'm like, I find that personally very, very funny. I think it's great. There's the timestamp. Is Ryan gay? Boom. Question mark. Max, before we told this funny story, you did mention that you had another funny story for this week.
Yeah, so like the last couple of weeks, as I mentioned, been getting a lot of, you know, health tests and stuff mm-hmm, done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, since I'm looking at, you know, my physical health, why don't I take a check and check in on my mental health?
Bold strategy, John.
And one of my friends is psychologist.
I'm same like, friend, hey, same friend, isn't it?
Yeah, same friend. Like, hey.
So that's not a good start when she completely misidentified my sexuality. Bam.
I'm like, hey, do you, because predominantly she works with children. I'm like, do you work with adults? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, why? I'm like, I'm just curious. I would love to sit down with you and you know, do a test for ADHD. I would love to see what I come out as.
Yep.
She turned around. She's like, oh, I can tell you right now. 100% yes. But she's like, I'll do it. We can sit down and we'll do it. So she gave me all the paperwork and I sit down last night to do it and I'm looking through.
You got distracted and sort of wandered off, hence big tick.
No, sorry. I'm having a look and I do what I do with every single survey that I fill out. Yeah. I don't fill out anything. I read all the questions first. I'm like, okay, go through it all. And I'm sitting there. In one hand, I've got a clicky pen. So in one hand, I'm clicking my pen as I'm going through it. My foot's tapping on the floor. And in my other hand, I've got a pair of nail clippers that I'm flicking open and closed. And it's like, do you fidget with things? I'm like, no, not at all.
Nah.
I got like 3 questions and got distracted, went and did something else for a couple of hours, came back and went, I can't do this now. I'll have to put that aside and do it when I'm more focused. Come back to it.
Oh my God. That, if that doesn't tell you exactly the answer, Max. But I guess the question is, in the same way that, like, it's a question that I had to ask myself when I got both my ADHD and my ASD discussion. What do you do with that information? Because, like, for me, the ADHD was super easy because I can get medicated for that. I can see active improvement. The ASD, like, all my support, like, my psychologist, etc., like, no, yeah, that's absolutely true. But I haven't got the formal diagnosis because it doesn't advantage me. Like, having that diagnosis only helps me if I want additional supports, like NDIS, etc., which I don't. So yeah. I'm not going to get it, but because I'm already doing all the things to treat it the best I can. So, like, if that information comes back as a thumbs up for you, whether you pass or fail the ADHD, I'm not really quite sure how it worked, whether you pass or fail it. But what do you want to do?
I will try meds and see if my life improves.
Yeah.
See if it changes. And if it doesn't, I'll just keep living the way I have always been living.
But, like, what changes would you like to see? Like,
I don't know. I would like to see if I could stay on focus on things a little bit more.
Mm.
Stick to a task, actually go through and finish from start.
Finishing quizzes the first go.
I put something up in the garage about 3 weeks ago, but I haven't finished installing it. Like, it's basically done. It's got like 2 steps left, but it's still sitting out there, mounted to the wall, ready to go. But there's still like 2 things that I need to do to get it working, and I just haven't done it. I'll get around to it.
But like, you mentioned this to me the other day, and what made me chuckle was because I pop a short acting Ritalin before I ever do the show. So I give my undivided attention to the show and to you. But what makes me laugh is the amount of times we're doing this show and I can see you typing, or I get fucking pings on my phone of you sending shit in our group chat. I'm like, that's the answer. Like, if that means we could do a completely cohesive show, that'd be rad. But like- right now you're looking at a different screen, Max.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes for upcoming talking point. Okay?
Oh, fuck, that's funny. Oh, good stuff.
I lost them. Where the fuck did it go? Oh, there it is.
Just losing stuff. Also, ADHD. Mm-hmm. Nah. That's cool, man. No, as you said, like, you talked about your physical health last week, mental health. Like, you know, they do come together. So hopefully, it comes together and be pretty, pretty good. It's fun to get your shit together in your early 30s. That's what I did.
Yeah. That quarter life crisis.
Well, I already had that. I had that when I finished uni because I was like, what the fuck am I doing now? And they had another crisis later on. I just had one earlier than I should have, and then had a second one. So that's not all bad.
Multiple crises.
Yeah. Crises in Ryan's brain. What have you been playing?
A lot of stuff this week.
Oh, actually. Yeah.
I've been all over the place. so I have been playing VR.
You have?
Yeah. I've been playing VR. And thanks to the people over at Toast Interactive, I'm assuming that's where
that is correct.
Self-published.
Doesn't direct.
I have been playing Me Mustard, Max Mustard. I should really call it by its actual name because otherwise people are going to get confused. I've been playing Max Mustard on PSVR2.
Yeah. So I first got exposed to this game through social media, through Twitter, where the guy that runs the socials.
Because it came out in March for Metacritic.
It did. I'm just going to pull up their name because, like, Qualbert. Because I could remember in my head it started with Cube. I couldn't remember the full name. Shout out to ADHD. So thanks to him on Twitter, we're having a chat. We have never actually met each other, but we know each other through NotDash from PAX of last year. And I was mentioning, obviously, the PlayStation Show, and he's like, yo, you're PSVR? I'm like, yeah. Like, cool, fuck with this game. I'm like, all right. And then, yeah, a couple of weeks later, the code came through and the VR happened to be at your house. So I haven't touched this game yet. So I'm very excited for when it comes back so that I can fuck with it. And then we can go on. But I need to experience this game. Tell me about it.
I'm going to take her overseas. She's just mine now. We're going to run away together. So Max Marset. Max Marset is a 3D platformer game. It is a platformer in VR. So it's very... I'm trying to remember how Astrobot Rescue Mission worked because I haven't played that in like forever.
So Astrobot Rescue Mission, you're essentially playing like a giant robot in and of yourself. Everything's controlled by the DualShock. And the way the game plays is you kind of follow Astrobot along and you kind of can peek your head around corners and, like, you know, you're traversing, unlike Moss, which you were looking down, it was kind of like a playboard and you moved Quill across the board. Here you're moving along, or Astro, I should say, you're moving along with Astrobot. And you're collecting and you can only see things if you actually get up and look around and stuff.
Okay, so I would describe that as a hybrid of Moss and Astrobot. So essentially you play as you are a disembodied person and you have the world surrounding you. And you can watch Max as they run around performing their platforming tricks and doohickeys. Your hands are visible. You have a control. You can see essentially remotes in each hand, and they'll show you what objectives you got left in the mission. So the aim is to go through the levels, and you need to rescue the. Let's see if I can remember what they are called. You need to rescue the. They're like little octopus guys. I'll see if I can actually pull it up. You have to rescue the mud pups from the clutches of the Stubbins.
Like the naming already. I'm feeling it.
So for the most part, as you know, with the VR2 controllers, you control Max as you would any other platformer. So you know, left stick moves Max around, and then the buttons on your right hand, you jump, your dash, your kick once you unlock it. Same with the dash once you unlock it. So when you start the game, you can only jump and jetpack. You have like a little. You have essentially like Iron Man rocket boots. Ooh. So you can kind of fly around.
Like Astro Boy instead of Astro Bot?
Yeah. So what you want to do is you travel through the levels, you rescue the things that are being kidnapped, and you collect as many coins as possible because at the end of the levels, you can go to the shop and you can buy upgrades. So some of them are essentially like an attack to attack the enemies instead of having to like Goomba stomp them Mario style, just jump on their head to destroy them. And then each iteration of an ability becomes more and more exponentially expensive. So the kick's like 40 coins, and then the dash was like 1,200 coins. It was crazy. At certain points of the level, you yourself gain agency. So I've had essentially like a plunger gun, and you can kind of shoot enemies.
Oh, yeah, seen them in the trailers, yeah.
Shoot them out of Max's way, or if targets pop up, you can collect bonus coins by shooting all the targets in a timely fashion. That can also open up separate areas to do like little side missions to collect. One of them is you collect the letters mustard, and then you get a bunch of coins for free for collecting all the hidden letters. Game's really, really fun. Runs really, really well. Didn't make me sick at all with the... Because you just kind of move along with Max as you progress through the levels. I've played about 10 levels at the moment. There's 40 in total. I've played some of the... not all levels are like open levels. Some of them are like little mini games. So there's one early on that's kind of just a shooting range. And depending on how quickly you can complete the shooting range will determine which prize essentially you will get. The game's really fun. The level design's fantastic. It kind of increases its difficulty as you progress, as you gain new skills, as you gain new power-ups and pickups through the level. So there's some that increase your ability to sustain flight with your jetpack boots. So you can kind of... it becomes kind of this flying obstacle course to dodge the enemies that can't be killed in midair, and It's very well designed. It has a very slow curve of difficulty, so it kind of teaches you one skill, then you'll use it for a couple of things, and then they'll go, well, this is how we can up the ante a little bit and go on go through that way. Essentially the same style as, you know, any other platformer that's been done. They kind of show you the skill, they let you learn it in a basic fashion, and they're like, hey, this is how you can apply it in other spaces where it's a little bit out of the norm.
So, like, from a progression point of a skill, obviously, you know, you get one, and then as you mentioned, like, you get it, you build on it, and then they add a supplementary one. Does that then work alongside it or build up on that same skill? So that way, you know, you've got, let's say you've got one encounter of dealing with this skill, then you get introduced a second skill, and then those two work in conjunction. Or is it in Astrobot comparatively? Sorry, something's in my throat. I can't quite get it. So apologies if I'm coughing and sniffing. I need to blow up my nose. Is it, like, you know, with each of the levels within Astrobot, like, you know, you've got the punching gloves or you've got the chicken rocket, and, you know, the two never shall meet.
It's a bit of both, because obviously you have the in-level power-up. So one of them is the extended rocket boots. But then you have your purchasable skills, like the dash, which can be used in conjunction. So, you know, they teach you how to cross gaps using the limited supply, and then they're like, hey, now you can cross longer gaps because you've picked up the power up to hover for longer, essentially. And then if you have that dash ability, you can kind of go through, and so it's a little bit of both, but from what I've played so far, you only really have one thing at a time. But again, I'm only about a quarter of the way through the game.
So I'll touch upon that now. So I assume you're, because we have had this for a little while now. Granted, both you and I have been playing other titles, but the challenge with yourself and VR is, you know, you have like a couple hours of a night time where you can really play without both your 1 year old and your 4 year old getting all up in your business.
Yeah, so I have only been able to play this at night. The one time I turned it on during the day, my kid kind of stormed into the room. She's like, I want to play Astrobot. So I had to turn it off. And, you know, at night, granted, VR2 is much easier to set up than the first one. Mm-hmm. But at night, the last thing I want to do is have something strapped to my face when I kind of just want to relax a bit.
Yeah, and just because you work nights, then you have to leave to go to work, and the last thing you want to do is have a screen this close to your face, then go off to your job.
Yeah. So, granted, this like I said at the beginning, there's no, like, horrendously noticeable screen dooring. It looks fantastic. I wasn't getting motion sickness from it. It runs really well, really smoothly. This would also be fun in a non-VR space. Like, the platforming and the level design is fun enough to be like, I could just play this without VR. But having that added VR-ness of you standing inside the overworld and being able to look around the corners to see if there's enemies before you go through the doorway, or having a look for those, you know, secret items of, you know, is there something behind there that I can collect? Or having that agency of, like, I can shoot an enemy if I have that, if I have been given the tools to do so, kind of, you know, helps take out the obstacles as you're platforming as well. It adds to, like, an extra dynamic to it, obviously, as most VR games do. But this is an absolutely fantastic platforming game in a VR space. It's actually one of the most fun I've had in the VR space in a very long time.
Well, I was going to ask the question. I've got two questions. This is the other one. So the team behind Atos Interactive, they have been quite ballsy, to their credit, across their socials, discussing, you know, there've been a lot of comparisons with Astrobot. Does it live up to that comparison?
Yes.
In both, like, the Astrobot and Astrobot Rescue Mission? Because Rescue Mission, in a lot of ways, really handled VR quite differently. It's good to see that inspiration's come across.
I've played Rescue Mission. But it's
is that on PS5 by any chance?
I don't believe so.
Oh, you keep chatting. I want to find out now.
But it is one of the, like I said, this game being just a platformer outside of VR would stand up with the likes of Astrobot and all of that fun stuff. Obviously, Astrobot has that gimmicky nostalgia hit of like collecting those robots, whereas here you're kind of just collecting the creature the same creatures over and over again, where you're not hitting that nostalgia of having it be a brand IP that you may or may not love.
But Astrobot can stand on itself alongside,
yes,
the nostalgia.
But yeah, this has been an absolutely like fantastic platformer. I can't wait to play more of it. It definitely stands up and holds up with the likes of those. And being in that VR space, I think it's a really good, because I think it's available on pretty much every VR known to man, because it did originally launch on Quest, I believe. Mm. So it's nice to see that games are still coming across from those platforms to PSVR 2. PSVR 2 desperately needs the titles to, you know, keep it alive. And this is a fantastic title. I think it's around the $40 mark on PSN at the moment. A great entry price, solid game.
Let me confirm that for you.
We get a fair, you know, like I said, I think I've played it for about 5 or 6 hours. I'm a quarter of the way through the game.
Yeah, it is currently $40.95. However, if you have PS Plus, you get a 17% discount, bring it down to $33.98.
Nailed it. Yeah, absolutely fantastic title. I'm really enjoying my time with it. Can't wait to see where the levels go next.
So speaking of coins though and dollars, so you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of things within this game that are locked behind that coin collectible wall, and like that in itself is not a problem, presuming the rate at which you receive coins is really good. Like you mentioned, there's 12,000 coins to get. Sorry, 1,200 to get this.
I was able to buy an ability pretty much every other level. Are very generous with the coins, because the coins are used as, although the levels themselves are very linear in scope, as most platformers are, there are the slight, you know, if you travel off the beaten path, you will get a bonus of coins for completing a task that's over there, similar to that of going and finding a hidden puzzle piece in Astrobot, or going finding a fucking colored gem in Crash Bandicoot, or any of those things. You are rewarded for going off the beaten path, but eventually that path will become a dead end, and you need to backtrack and get back onto the linear path the way it was designed.
Okay.
They're not like open world levels akin to like Mario 64. They are set levels with a start point and a finish point, and only one way to get there. At least that is what I've seen so far. That may change further down the track, but so far what I've seen, it is mainly a linear go from point A to point B and collect what you can on the way through.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, hopefully I can mess with that soon. So we were kindly, both you and I were kindly invited to this cool little VR sort of expo hands-on looking thingy a couple of days before PAX as part of Melbourne International Games Week. And I was kindly invited by Qualbert. And so I'm hoping to be able to mess with Maximus before I meet him. Hey, how do you think of the game? I'm like, yeah, I haven't touched it yet, my bad.
Yeah, like Maximus with me back.
Yeah, shared custody, man. Like it's a battle. Like co-parenting is sometimes good and it's a great deal, and sometimes one of the parents is a butt.
I mean, to be fair, it sat on my shelf for 3 weeks without me touching it, and then you're like, "Hey, we got a code." I'm like, "Sweet."
Yeah,
and
I set it up straight. Saying that though, it was also at my house for God knows how long before I even touched it.
I think your son played it mainly. I think James was bummed when I came and picked it up. He's like, oh, man, I was playing this.
Yeah,
like,
he was playing...
I was coming to pick it up.
Yeah, he was playing Call to the Mountain, I think. But, yeah, I imagine... I know you know, spoilers, the fine print of VRs don't play until you're 13 or whatever. My kid's 7 and whatever.
Yeah, Hadley really wants to play it. I'm like, nah, dude.
Yeah, Hadley's a little too young. We're like, James is what? Yeah, pushing 8. So he's still not the appropriate age, but like he's good at it. He gets it. And I think he'd like, because he is in love with Astro Bot right now. So I think Max Muscle would be at a great game for him. And I would like to strap it to his head as well. Are you distracted again?
Maybe.
What are you distracted about?
Just diddy stuff.
What diddy memes? God damn. But anyways, we'll head away from Max Mustard. As we mentioned, big thank you to the team for providing us the code. A, it's an Australian team, which is even better. And B, it is a VR game, which is fantastic. And from what Max is saying, pretty darn good one.
It's real good.
Make sure to go check that out. Is there anything? Let me have a quick look at what I. Excuse me. God damn! I need to really need to blow my nose. Because I can. I know this get real gross. I can feel the noseness going in my throat hole, and that's what's making me cough, and it's shitting me to tears. So if I pull up my PlayStation app and I'm seeing what I have been playing, what have I got? Well, my son has been playing a butt ton, as I can tell, because we share an account. He has been playing Sifu, which that was a fun thing. He video called me the other day and he's like, "Daddy, check this game out." I'm like, "Holy crap, you're playing Sifu?" But then I forgot that that they've since have released a difficulty level.
Is baby ass baby mode now.
Yeah, and I think he's playing baby ass baby mode because I'm watching him. He's doing okay. I'm like, I suck butts at this game. How are you doing this? And then I remembered the updates. That's okay.
Well, Hadley has now rolled credits on both Astro's Playroom and Astrobot.
Hey, well done. Did she got all the collectibles?
She hasn't got all the collectibles yet. We're playing through Playroom again at the moment to go back and get all the collectibles. Because she obviously deleted my save to start again fresh.
Yeah. Oh, and you've got to make sure you get a guide to get those 4 extra bots too.
Thankfully. I don't need a guide.
Oh, you do, because they're fucking weird.
Thankfully, it keeps your speedrun times.
That's true. It did do that thing there, yeah.
Delete save. So she's been playing through that. It's been fun. She's like, she's obsessed with the fucking frog levels, which are, in my opinion, the fucking worst.
Oh, when you're in Playroom, yeah?
Yeah, where you're playing the stupid fucking frog suit.
And the monkey, I think, are bumholes.
Oh, the monkey's fine. It's the ball rolling fucking trackpad bullshit is also
garbage. That one's fun. I like that one.
No, like you fuck right off.
The spaceship one's awesome.
Yeah, the spaceship one's fine.
Yeah. Because I myself play, as I think we discussed in our Astrobot, excuse me, review chat. I went back to play Astrobot, redid it all because I also got the thing done and then picked up those extra bots because you do, like, it makes sense. You're like, oh, you get the extra bots, but that's so dumb. Like the one you have to do in the first level with the beach, you've got to like ping this one thing, ping that, and then like there's a direction that when they released the bots, there were like directions and like hints and teasers.
Mm.
Fucked if I know how I would have guessed if I didn't have a guide. I think I used the Press Start guide. It's a shout out to Australia's Press Start for telling me where to go and how to get these 4 extra bots. And what was it? It was a hunter from Bloodborne. Another monkey from Ape Escape, because apparently the 7 you get in that level is insufficient. You need another one. Celeste? No. From Returnal. Starts with C.
Celine.
And it starts with S, not C. Yeah, there you go. Celine from Returnal and Gran Turismo bot.
So, Gran Turismo man.
Yeah.
Stig.
Yeah, he does look like the Stig. So it could just be the Stig. Also, hello, Mullet Show. The trackball control is less than optimal. It is a bit poo, but once you master it, like I find it to be quite fun. And I also really enjoy the tactile feedback you get from when you ding, 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 the little like metal spikies. That part rules. Big fan of that part. Outside of that, what else did we see? So you play a little bit of Cuphead. He both started and completed Marvel Spider-Man Remastered twice. So my son's, as it's school holidays, He's been with me for about 5 days. He went back on Sunday. And in that time, yeah, because I had to work a couple of days, he was just kind of chilling up at the end of the house playing games. So, yeah, he was finishing his save of Astrobot. And then it's like, I'm bored of Astrobot. Can I play Spider-Man again? Because we have a Spider-Man poster in his bedroom. And he was in bed and looked at that thing as, oh, I haven't played Spider-Man in a while. And then proceeds to play it twice. Just all the way through. He's insane. And then, in order to avoid me having to watch Astrobot again, even though I love it, or watching Spider-Man again, even though I love it, I was like, you need another game, bud. So I downloaded Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, threw that on baby ass baby mode, which means you don't lose any health unless you fall off the edge of the world. It's having a blast. Having a blast. Because like the reason I grabbed Rift Apart was because when in that opening mission of Astrobot, when he sees Ratchet and Rivet, and he really likes the little, where is it? It's this side. The little media kit thingy we got with all the little faces on it for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And he gets really excited. Oh, it's Ratchet, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, sick. Loves it. And I put it in the performance ray tracing mode at 120 frames per second. Dear God. It is... Oh. It's the same, because we did the same with Spider-Man as well, because Insomniac in post-patch since launch have introduced performance mode with ray tracing rather than just having it be purely in the quality mode for both Ratchet and Spider-Man.
Showing the lack of need for a PS5 Pro.
No, it makes me want to go, holy shit, like, what could Insomniac do with PS5 Pro? Because if they could do this here, oh, stunning. But yeah, 120, like I, because it's funny. I know you've always been a frames guy, right? And I hadn't. I was fine, but I was aware that it would be better. I just knew that all the games that I enjoyed were always 30, because you like a lot of multiplayer stuff, tend to hit 60, so that I could tell the difference marginally. But I was never like, I have to play at 60. In recent times, since getting my new TV, which I haven't actively talked about in a while, that was a good couple of weeks when I just jerked that TV off a lot. I have become, and my PC, now that I've got a stronger PC that can run dumb frames, I am absolutely only ever on the side of a higher frame rate. And then when looking at all the PS5 Pro stuff that came out from Digital Foundry, I'm like, oh, God damn, I need that PS5 Pro. I need it so bad. Because like watching the opening cinematic of Spider-Man at 30, I'm like, this is a juddery mess. Put it onto the 60, that's pretty good. Oh, there's 120. 120, oh, delicious. Delicious. So good. In terms of what I've been playing, though, I did dive back into Space Marine again today. Once again, because I've had my kid most of the week, I didn't get to play shit. So that was fun. Jumping into Space Marine, got myself through a couple more missions. That game is still just fantastic. It is unreasonably good. We are still yet to dive into multiplayer. Just timing be bad. But I'm hoping to do that shortly.
Mainly timing.
Yeah. Because it's
always timing. It's always timing.
It's all, yeah, we run on two different times. I work during the day, you work at night.
Mm. But like on the weekends, either you've got your kid and can't play because your son's like, let's not play this garbage game.
Yep.
Because I don't like it. Or you don't, and my kids are playing the fool and they're like, no, dad.
Yeah. Or I'm at wrestling and you're not being social or being social.
Yeah, as well, yeah.
Here's the other way.
Last weekend, I went to bed at fucking 10 o'clock at night. I was like,
Isn't that a good life?
Sleep. No, because it fucking wrecked me because I slept for like 14 hours. I woke up and felt like ass.
That is an ungodly amount of sleep. On top of that as well, was that?
It's like a week's worth of sleep for me.
That is a week's worth of sleep. I have continued to be messing around with Mafia 3, as I discussed last week and went before. I still genuinely love that game. I don't know. Like, I know it got a lot of, like, average reviews at the time, but I think, as I said last week, in the same way that Space Marine 2 hits a really good beat because it feels like an old late 360 PS3 game, like, you know, because it's just simple. It's just get in, objective, go, clear your way through, you're done. Mafia 3 has that same energy, but for like the later GTAs, like GTA 4, or even a lot of those GTA-inspired clones, like your Scarface, The World Is Yours, or the Godfather games, or or the true crime streets of New York or LA, or even not Call of Juarez. That was a different game. There was a game with a guy. Either way, bunch of those sort of open worldy sandboxing.
Huh? Shit. Game with a guy, fucking
yeah. There was a game with a guy on the front, and the whole gimmick was he had like it was very El Desperado, you know, the Rodriguez movie. Robert Rodriguez. He had like a guitar case, and that was his big gun in it. But yeah, it's very those early late PS2 into PS3 Saints Row feeling. Not quite as chaos as Saints Row, but like that very GTA replicated. I'm loving it. The game itself is very simple, as I mentioned. You go into an area, clear the area. I think it was just called Desperado, I think. yeah, you go in, you know, clear it, do enough to damage or disrupt the local business, you know, the gang enough to whittle them down, get them out of hiding. You go, you shoot them in the face, you go on to the next part. The story is compelling enough to keep moving forward. I genuinely care about the characters. I don't know why Lincoln Clay seems really fascinating to me. And as you sort of see all these other connecting characters. But yeah, no, it's very, 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 very good. Other than that, I did get a code. I haven't played it yet, but I did get a code for... you know how I love my simulator games, Max. You know I love them. You know I love them. So on through Keymailer,
I can't wait until you like stumble into like the fucking dating sim world, and you start playing all those fucking horny waifu.
Like it's one of those things. It's not far off because I do like the day in the life games, right? And that's essentially what they are. And like the sim games are day in the life games. And like during COVID at my old job, you know, to working with youth and stuff, playing games, we did play Daddy Dating Simulator and I had a lot of fun with it. I thought that was a good laugh. You know, Persona I weirdly enjoyed, even though I shat on it the entire time. I really like Persona 5 because that is a kind of a, what's it called? What's that type of anime where they like, people in another dimension or whatever.
Isekai.
Yeah, I quite like that as a concept. They're pretty fun too. But yeah, so I got a code for in the same vein of Supermarket Simulator, which I also had a bunch of fun with, even though I worked in a supermarket and I hated it.
Ryan's just like, I'll fucking price gouge you.
I haven't installed it yet. I haven't even claimed the code, but I'm super keen. Clothing store simulator. I get to run my own like fucking boutique, Betson's, you know, clothes and shit. That's what I'm probably going to call it. It looks exactly the same as
Betson's Bits and Bobs.
Yeah, Betson's Bits and Bobs, you know, Betson's fashion. Yeah, I want to play the fuck out of it. It looks awesome fun. Like, it's one of those ones I put a key request in through Keymailer and then forgot about it. And then the code came through. I'm like, oh, yes. So I'm very keen to fuck with that. That should be a whole lot of fun. But what about yourself, Max? What have you been playing?
I played the demo, which is the opening prologue for Metaphor ReFantazio.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out next month. I've played through that twice now.
So tell me about this, because this is, speaking of Persona 5, which is accidental segue, this is by Atlas.
Yeah.
And apparently this is Persona in everything but name.
Yeah, from what I've heard and seen and what is available to me on the interwebs.
Yeah, I've seen this in like previews and that sort of stuff.
So yeah. They've been pimping this game for like the better part of a year now, what feels like. And it's coming out patch weekend.
Oh, it is too, yeah.
So that's going to be fun. But yeah, it has that stylistic art style and UI that Persona 5 had.
Yeah.
but feels more like a Shin Megami Tensei game than what so far.
So for context, for those like myself who are unaware of the difference between the two, what makes something more Shin Megami Tensei versus Persona?
It's weird. Persona's the spin-off that's fucking way more popular than the main thing.
That I know. But I could tell the difference.
The main difference from what I can remember is in Persona, you personify the demons and stuff that you collect and use them to fight. So instead of you essentially channel them and use their abilities in combat. In SMT, you capture these demons and you use them as like Pokemon in your party.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They're not. You don't take on their attributes. You literally use them in your party. They tend to be a little more darker, which is a weird thing to say considering how, like...
Seeing as the first mission in Persona 5 is all about sexual assault.
Pretty gnarly.
Do I play Persona 5 again? I don't have time. I have a bunch of other shit to do.
But the last thing on my playlist is Remnant 2 dropped their last DLC last week, The Dark Horizon. So Zach and I reinstalled Remnant 2 because that has been our game for the longest time. We finished it in a single sitting. It is very short. It is the shortest of the DLCs. There is fucking 3 bosses in total for this DLC.
And how many is it normally?
The base game had like 50 odd bosses. The first DLC had like 8. There was like 8 or 10 for the next one. It's a very fucking short comparatively. We bowled it over in like 3 hours.
Mm.
It was fun, but horrendously short.
Oh my god.
added like a few cool new weapons. All that kind of stuff, but it was kind of more just the same Remnant. There's no new areas. It revisits Nalrud, which is like the sci-fi desolate world.
Mm-hmm.
It was my least favorite world in the base game. It's still my least favorite world now. It's very open, very easy to get lost. Luckily, Remnant 2 does this amazing thing of if you're playing multiplayer, you have shared loot. So if you separate and someone goes, hey, I found an item, they don't have to wait for you. If they pick it up, it pings for you as well, no matter the distance. So we kind of just separate when we're our way. We're like, hey, I'll go left, you go right. We'll just try and work out where the fuck we're supposed to go.
I have always had a preference for shared loot. Because, that way there's less of a scramble to like open the chest and whoever's first. So if you have one player that's just a little bit of a dick just starts loot smashing everything, you're like, what are you doing, mate?
Like literally everything shared, the in-game currency if you pick up like
everything. Oh, love that.
It's really, really good. That was a bit disappointing knowing that it's its final DLC, that it's also the shortest DLC. We've got to go back and play through it again to beat the boss a separate way so we get the other item. And we've just got to unlock the final class as well.
Very nice.
But it's been fun, and Remnant 2 is one of those games that has so many hidden stuff in it. There's probably way more that we've missed that we just haven't realized. One of the things in my TikTok view that I constantly see is like, did you know in Remnant 2 that if you did this and shot this leaf in this particular way, it'll open a door here, but that's not the only door. If you walk through that door and roll into a wall, the wall disappears and there's another room behind it, and behind this room is this item. If you collect this item and take it back to person A and tell them that you have it but don't give it to them, you'll get this item. But if you give it to them, you get that item. And then you can go see this person, get this item. I'm like, what the fuck? How am I ever supposed to...
My next question was like, how the fuck do you work any of that out? Like, see, that hurts the part of my brain that doesn't like card games. You know, all the ifs and therefores or buts.
So one of the hidden classes to unlock, you have to wear a particular set of gear... So, like a particular set of armor with 3 particular weapons with 2 particular class ability skills equipped at the same time at a certain level and a door will open. And then you can go through that door and you can unlock, like, the big hidden class. It was, like, this big ARG in the game. The Discord server was hot. Everyone was trying to work it out. It's crazy the amount of stuff that's in there that's locked behind just weird interactions that you could luck into, if maybe.
See, this is where you and I have very different ADHD.
And I love that shit.
Where that collecting is right up your fucking alley, where I'm like, that sounds like the worst. Which tells me that, once again, when we're discussing this, like, you clearly have inattentive ADHD, where the one thing that kicks you, and I've got combined, which means I'm inattentive and I'm compulsive and I'm all hyperactive. So I'm like, I don't like this. And then I just run off and do something else that will get me all fucking hyped. But you're like, no, I just want something that holds my attention for a long window of time. And I assume all the ifs and therefores or buts, and like, you're like, oh, there's so many different ways that I can lock into this.
But other than that, I'm still chugging away at Visions of Mana. I'm still chugging away at a few other games. I did try out one other VR game that I was interested in.
Oh, yeah.
Zenith Velocity. It's that MMORPG in VR.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
Off garbage.
Oh.
I played there for 20 minutes and uninstalled it. They do not onboard you very well at all. They're like, hey, go to this tutorial area. Don't teach me how to equip the fucking skill that it wants me to equip. Still didn't know, work out how to fucking do it. It's like a T-pose and you can fly. So I tried to do that and it didn't fucking work. I just fell to my death. That was scary shit. Yeah. I tried it again and Ali's standing there fucking laughing at me because I'm fucking flapping my arms trying to work out how to fucking glide and jump this gap and do this fucking parkour course. And I'm like, nah, this game's dumb. Turn it off.
Yeah, because, like, speaking of a case, once again, dicking about on Keymailer, I popped up with the Metal Hell's Slinger.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got a VR port coming out real soon. Well, that should be a whole bunch of fun to mess about in. I'm keen for that. But one, like, let's get, so, okay, let's just, what's all I'm here about, you know, games, VR games. So again, this section we call Inform the Players, we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, you said it yourself.
The biggest news this week is, what piece of 30th anniversary gear did you manage to score for a pre-order?
Oh, well, let me quickly change this. 30th anniversary. So,
because Chaboy got nothing because EB fucked me 10 times in my cart and then they were sold out.
So, for context of Max's complaints, this week, in the past week, PlayStation announced and dropped, essentially, the 30th anniversary collection for the PS5. To celebrate the 30th anniversary, they've announced the PS5 Pro bundle, which comes with the console, a standard controller, but cool looking, a DualSense, but cool looking, a stand, looks normal. A paperclip, that's kind of cool. That's gonna make me laugh. I did find someone selling like the PlayStation branded paperclips on Marketplace, but they were the symbols. And I was like, holy shit. And I showed Phoebe. She's like, you're not fucking buying them. I'm like, fine, I'll buy them in a big ass bundle then. it comes with a cable, which looks like a PS1 thing, as well as a charging dock, which is a normal charging dock, but it's pretty colors.
And it was priced at $1,700.
And it's $1,700. So neither of us got that one yet.
Well, you had to be a level 5 EB fucking member to order it through EB.
Yeah.
And JB were like, well, we're just going to fucking raffle it.
Yeah, JB's like, we're going to get, because there's like 12,300 of them worldwide.
Mm.
So I do appreciate JB's plan of, hey, if we raffle it, it can be at complete fucking random.
I'm going to skip to the story that is relevant to this.
But so before we get into that, so like I was able to get the 30th anniversary controller. So similar to yourself, I was getting reamed by EB, but I was just persistent. I was like, I'm not fucking missing out on this controller. I talked about last week about how much just PlayStation branding and like its impact to me. And like the 30 years, well, the 28-ish years I've been playing PlayStation, like it means so much to me, greater than it's you know, my little ADHD, my ASD brain loves three things: my family, PlayStation, and wrestling. And coincidentally, most of them connect to each other in some way. So there's no way that I wouldn't pass up this controller. But similarly, so I kept getting boned, logged me out a bunch of times. It was like, oh, you know, the card didn't work. So I tried with Apple Pay on my phone, didn't want to work. Pulled up my computer, tried that way, didn't work. Eventually it worked, was able to secure one. It hasn't been reverted yet, so I assume it's not a mix-up of allocation. But I jumped in a bang on 10 o'clock, and I got mine at quarter past.
I jumped in bang on 10 o'clock, and by 10 past, I'd given up because it failed like miserably.
So I think if you waited a couple more minutes, you could have got one.
I would normally have gotten on my computer to do it, but at 10 o'clock, my son wanted to go down for his nap. So I was trying to do it on my phone whilst rocking my son to sleep in a rocking chair. And I was just getting pissed off. I'm like, fuck it. I don't care.
Do you care, though?
Not really. I care in the fact that, like, I could have been one of those guys who's pre-ordered it and sold it on eBay for twice as much.
And also our good friend Patch, unable to get one too.
Mm.
He was livid. So maybe he will have to go the scalper route.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so this leads into the scalpers of backstory. So Sony charged a lot for its forced 30th anniversary PS5 Pro bundles, but it's clear it could have comfortably tripled the cost of it and still sold through its inventory of 12,300 units. The evidence, scalpers on eBay are already flipping their pre-orders for up to $5,000.
Jesus.
These are not speculative listings. These are actually selling for that much.
So you looked at the sold listings, right?
So I've looked at sold listings. So in the UK, multiple units have sold for around £4,000. In Australia, there has been three sold dead on $4,000.
But how? Oh, yeah, through level five. It's like no one's fucking got locked in yet, yeah. I guess. Yeah, level five, yeah.
To buy a DualSense controller, they were $125 on the day. They're now $300 to buy on eBay.
Interesting.
Multiple people have bought them. There's like 50 odd listings of sold listings.
See, this is fascinating because, like as I mentioned, I've got the 20th anniversary the DualShock controller, but I didn't buy that brand new because I couldn't afford it at the time. I picked that up at secondhand. It was EB Games Plenty Valley. I walked in one day, looked at the cupboard, and I was like, that's the fucking 20th. I'm buying it. And they're like, yeah, the battery's a little bugged. I'm like, I don't care. I want it on the... It's not about the function. It's about having it, which is fucking capitalism, isn't it? So I bought it, and it's been living on my shelf ever since. And I look at it, and I love it. And the DualSense will be the same thing. But... that is exorbitant.
Schrodinger's dual senses. Get someone's box. Put a controller. Yeah, it's fine.
Look, it's expected that there's, you know, it's any collectibles in general always get reamed through resale. And especially something limited, at least the PS5 Pro bundle. So yeah, we're both in the ballot. If I get it, I'm going to find a way to get fucking $1,600 just so I can hold it above Padge mostly. No, he'll punch me. He's way stronger than me.
And then sell it to him for twice.
Well, if anything, I'll sell you the DualSense because you want the DualSense.
Yeah.
You want the Edge. So I'll sell you the Edge.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know what? Because I'm buying the controller separately, maybe I'll sell the other controller to Padge.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
That's a good deal. If I get that bundle. If I don't, then sucks to both of you guys.
I'm in the ballot, but I don't want it. So whoever wants it can have my fucking ballot win anyway.
This guy.
You can fight Patch for
him. He's way stronger than me. That's not going to go down well. But it's very cool. Very exciting. Putting it behind two challenge walls, I guess, because they're not paywalls, but they're challenge walls. Oh, actually, the EB level 5 is absolutely a fucking paywall.
I'd argue so is JB, because you have to pay for it up front.
No, but I mean, like, to get into perks, you don't have to pay, but, like, in order to be level 5, you have to spend a fuck ton of money and continuously spend fuck ton of money to then stay within level 5. Now, you and I never buy games. Because of the beauty of what we do. Like, I'm level 4, but like...
In my lifetime of EV spending, like, in my lifetime, I just have enough to reach level 5.
Yeah.
In my lifetime of spending, not in a single year.
I can assure you, I've never met the lifetime. Like I said, I'm level 4, but I think I got a bump because I used to buy Game Informer.
I began at level 4 because I went in for the midnight launch in Cairns for fucking one of the Call of Duties, and they're like, hey, do you want to buy a Game Informer subscription for $2? I'm like, fucking yes, I do. Mm. And they're like, cool, have this level 4 card.
Yeah, that's how I got it. I did love Game Informer. I didn't really enjoy reading that. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah,
so wait and see. Fingers crossed. I think everyone's got their fingers crossed, so it kind of negates having your fingers crossed. But the thing that's most intriguing, Max, is not just having these cool, you know, pretty consoles, at least for me, because, like, I don't need a PS5 Pro. I wouldn't mind one, and especially if it's this one, I want it. But after seeing the state of play this week, I am suddenly a lot more interested in getting that PS5 Pro, let me fucking tell you. So I did watch this live, as did Max. I did do a live reacts video. It is available on the YouTubes, probably in the Twitch VODs as well. Before we jump into the specifics, what did you think of the show overall?
I thought it was great. I don't understand this discourse online of like, this was another shit state of play. Like, it was fine.
No.
It was better than the last one that they had.
Yeah. I would say confidently that this is one of the better state of plays. Like, for me personally, you know, if I was to look at, like subjectively, yeah, it was pretty good. It was fine. Objectively, it was great. Like, it hit all the beats. You know, there wasn't a lot of... there wasn't too heavy into the JRPGs. They touched upon first party stuff. They didn't spend too hard on like live service nonsense. Like it kind of did a very, very good job. It showed a lot of games that were coming, setting up some things that we knew, but then back ending with this just big fucking boom.
First on my list.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, you've done the order in impact rather than release order, or in appearance order, I should say. but no, I think there is an issue with expectations around state of plays. And I think that...
they're not showcases.
Well, exactly. They're not showcases. And... I was listening to Sacred Symbols, as I do every week, one of my fucking favorite things to do in the world. They were talking about how everyone is chasing like the 2016 E3, which I agree. That was one where we got Horizon, Days Gone, God of War, Batman VR. I think Last of Us was in there as well. Like it was a whole show. It was an incredible show. However, we will never replicate that again. Because that was when they would do one a year. Now we might get two state of plays a year. Like we got one in February, we've got one now. But even on top of that, most other publishers have their own things. So that world no longer exists. I think it's a reflection of the greater entitlement of the gamers trademark, as James Stephanie Sterling would refer to them, where the expectation is just so ungodly stupid and unreasonable. Like you would start to think that these people don't even like fucking games. The amount of hatred and like just shitting on, like, do you even like and or play games? But yeah, once again, this state of play, I thought it was great. I left it going, oh, that was interesting. Like there was nothing that blew my dick off. But there was enough for me to go, I can see where people would get excited. And we'll touch on the big reveal, the final one. Or I have the order here in...
Yeah, if you want to go in order, that's fine.
Yeah, because I've got my notes here. So let's go by that order just so we're not busting too hard at the start. So they did kick things off with Astrobot. They've announced the upcoming DLC. They mentioned that there will be 10 new bots. Two of them were announced being Helldivers and Eve from Stellar Blade. But that's not the best part of this DLC for you, is it, Max?
Well, it's It's a double-edged sword for me here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you're alluding to, they're releasing speedrun levels, which should have been in the game to begin with, in my opinion. They did say it was releasing this quarter. Well, actually, technically, they said fall, which is this fucking quarter, at some point. To be fair, this also wasn't new. The game director came out and said this about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. They're like, hey, this is coming. Fucking calm down. So, I love speedrun levels. Great. Problem is, I am playing it on the PopC account this time around, not my own.
Oh.
So, all my friend leaderboards are not going to exist because
we don't have any friends on the PopC account. It's a purely work account. Mm. And even on top of that, that's like the funniest part. Like, you, Max, are like the 25th person in the world to get the platinum according to PSN profiles. I'm like 32nd. But it's not you. It's the PopC account.
Yeah. Oh, well. Shit out.
So, like, I understand your pain. I understand your pain.
My frustration.
Second, I'm excited. I want to know what the other eight are. I was listening to Gene Park.
No screenings, people.
Well, that's the thing. So I was listening to
apparently Square just didn't get back to them.
I was going
to
say, I was listening to an interview with Gene Park with the Washington Post. He interviewed the creative director, and he was just like, essentially along the line of, we respect the publisher's wishes, which essentially implies they asked Square Enix and they went, no, which is super weird. Square have such a good relationship with...
Or they didn't respond and they went, well, they didn't say yes, so we're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Next up was a very cool-looking game, The Midnight Walk. It is from... Oh, I can't read my own handwriting. Moon Loud? Wait. Fuck my handwriting. I think it's Moon Loud Studios. This is a cool claymation game. Think like Little Nightmares, but a different scale. It is also... So it's from the team that did Lost at Random. Lost at
Random.
Yeah. But it's also a PSVR 2 compatible title. So you can play in VR or not VR. As you mentioned, Max, VR needs its love, and it's weirdly getting it here.
Mm.
And there's a couple other games we'll talk about in a bit too, but this immediately caught my attention. I thought this looks good. Moon Hood. Thank you, Craig. This looked great. I want to play this so bad because it's got like that right. It's got that level of uncomfortable creepy, and especially in VR, like the way they're like, it's got that little like claymation spooky line. Shutter, and it's like, ugh. And then it jumps at your face, which is even gross. What's your thoughts, Midnight Walk?
This is the one that I missed. I missed Midnight Walk and Astrobot. I rewatched Astrobot because I knew my kid would be super excited. She's like, oh, let's go play the new levels right now. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not that right now.
How are you finding that? Because like, I'm the same with James, where I'm like, look, there's something coming. I like to tell him when it's coming, but then he's better at it now. But he's like, is that minutes out now? I'm like, no, bud. He's like, but why not? I'm like, I don't know.
I get it every day. She's like, new levels ready? I'm like, no. I'm looking at it. She's like, can I fucking play it anyway? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, I'm stoked that she's not playing Paw Patrol anymore. Cause but like, she has this really weird, like, I've watched her do something and then she'll be like, if she fails at one, she'll be like, Dad, I need your help. I'm like, no, you can do it. I literally just watched you do it before. Like, just take your time, try again. If you don't succeed in a couple of tries, I will help you. But you have to make a good crack at it.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, I can do it. I'm like, yes, I fucking watched you do it before. Like, just do it.
Like, I'm your dad. I'm not going to set you up to fail.
I'm like trying to play fucking League of Legends over here. I'm like, I can't pause it, Hadley. She's like, why not? I'm like, all right, mum, calm down. It's a fucking online game.
Just pause this online game, Dad. next up was Hell Is Us from Rogue Factor. This looks sick.
It's got my name all over it.
This is the one with the weird, like, faceless, sunken, white nonsense, isn't it?
What?
There was the guys are all, like, creepy and all hunched over. They kind of look like the Spot from the second Spider-Verse movie, but they're horrifying.
I haven't seen that yet.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe.
All right, let me do Hell is Us.
I don't know.
That's not one at all.
Hell is Us. I saw it as like a third person, what looks to be action adventure game. Looks Souls-esque. I'm like, yeah, this is me.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the one. Yeah, it's got the weird, like, there's the dudes in the thing.
At first, I thought it was fucking Death Stranding.
Yeah, like, so if this, this was interesting. So there was a couple, there's clear influence in here in a number of different ways. There's a Dark Souls or a Soulsborne influence in the combat. The guy kind of looks like a mixture of Aiden Pierce from Watch Dogs with Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding, which is an interesting set of combos. It's got an interesting horror vibe to it. It seems like a bunch of things crammed together. And like, I don't mind that at all. I quite like when people show their influence. I think it's very important because it helps you understand exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to be, or at least give you a hint of where they're going, which I quite like. But yeah, this did feel very much like a Max game. Mm. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Next up was Metro Awakening VR. This is a PSVR 2 title. It is coming November 7th, so same day as the PS5 Pro. Do you think that will be – is it a coincidence? Do you think this will get some – because it looks fucking immaculate. Will this be a PS5 Pro beneficial?
It didn't say Pro Enhanced.
It did not say Pro Enhanced. That is true. But in the same way that PS4 Pro
also wasn't part of the sizzle reel that they showed of Pro Enhanced shit.
True. But there was no VR mentioned in that sizzle reel at all. When the PS4 went to the PS4 Pro, the Pro did actively assist in the PSVR.
I mean, maybe.
Just saying.
It depends on if it's CPU bottlenecked or if it's GPU bottlenecked. Because if it's CPU bottlenecked, it won't fucking help at all because it's the same CPU in it.
With that in mind, I think it was Digital Foundry. They mentioned that there is room to overclock it, but it's more on the dev side. You got to do it intentionally. You can't. Yeah. It's not built into like native. But you can
because it's not a first party. I don't think it's a first party VR platform title.
No,
they probably won't do it. They're not going to optimize it for a specific audience.
On the presumption, it's not coming anywhere else. But I think it is. So it's probably not. Next up was, I can't read my own handwriting, was Archeage Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, this is me all over
again. Yeah, what was this one for you? Because I remember
originally it was called Archeage 2, sequel to Archeage, the old school MMO that came out in 18, maybe?
Okay.
It was cool. I love it. Love a good fantasy MMORPG. It's coming to console. Love it.
Yeah.
Combat looks sweet. Graphics look great.
Yeah, very Max. Speaking of graphics looking not great, because I don't think it ever looked great, Palworld got announced it was already known that it was coming to PlayStation. Yeah. However, it was shown that it was coming the day of. So it's available right now. Except in Japan because of, I assume, pending lawsuits. But that always weird timing. It was always part of the plan, I assume. Not the lawsuit, but like that part. It's interesting in general that there are no rumblings of Palworld. Like my socials are very PlayStation. Like the algorithm knows what I do and what I like. And no one's talking Palworld.
Thing is, everyone who wanted to play it has played it and has moved on.
That's the tough part of that waiting, you know, the console exclusive, right?
Because it was available on Games Pass, you could play it on PC for free. You could play it on Xbox for free. And that's what I did. I mean, I own it on Steam. I bought it on Steam. I played it when it first came out with my friends. We had a fucking blast. We paid for a private server. We did all that stuff. We hit it hard for a couple of months and we're like, hey, we're done. Cool.
So the Marlon Show jumps in and mentions they have Twitter earlier boasting about 25 million players worldwide. That is not active players. That sounds like total players. And I assume a lot of those numbers would be from when it launched. I assume that's nothing to do with what's happening right now. but we'll confirm that. Next up, we hit something intriguing, actually.
I wanted to try and keep this quick. Can we take a quick, like a really short tangent while we're talking about
Yeah, go ahead. Go nuts.
Do you think this whole patent infringement thing, one, is banned for the games industry as a whole, for a company to be like, no, we can patent and sue you for using a very fucking specific in-game mechanic akin to throwing an object that captures another object? Because there are lots of games where I can throw things and catch things. They're not necessarily Pokeballs or Pokemon-esque creatures. But Nintendo were like, hey, you can't fucking do this. Does that mean I can no longer throw fishing nets in Ark and catch fish? Can I no longer throw, let's say, bolos and capture and trip play other players? Can I not throw one of those fucking ghost packs and capture a ghost in Ghostbusters? Like, that's all thrown objects that's capturing another object. Do you think this is a detriment to the games industry as a whole to be able to patent and sue for specific mechanics? Are we going to get Call of Duty patenting Team Deathmatch and suing anyone who fucking puts that game mode in their game from now on? Do you think this makes Nintendo look petty and bad? Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, that's part two, yes. But I understand that they are well within their rights to do so, and I would agree with them. Because I remember when I saw it, I was like, this is just fucking Pokemon. And like that, whatever the fuck that is, that looks exactly like a Pokemon. You know, but once again, they're not getting them for that. So we discussed this last week.
Copyright infringement, they're getting them for patent infringement on a mechanic in a game.
Exactly. So we talked about this last week.
A patent that was granted after the release of Power World 2.
Mm. Well, that's just patent. That's patent law, and patent law is a bitch. But for me, I feel, and I think I mentioned this last week as well. To me, this feels like
the Nemesis system.
No, I was going to talk about that too. This feels like Al Capone. I talked about this last week. I don't think I can remember his name. But this is when they got Al Capone on tax fraud, not for all the other crimes that he did. And this could be the same thing. They can't get them on a direct copyright infringement, because there's like the way copyright infringement works is there is a percentage level. Like if you can get, it's the same way that Apple and IBM were able to like be similar, but not. You know, it's a percentage thing. And I think Power World is just enough of a percentage that they can't get them. So they've got to find them another way. Yes, I think there is an issue with patent within the gaming space. And there's an issue with patents in general. I understand their purpose. And I think they're great in a number of ways. They've allowed for people that have had incredible ideas to not be fucking punched, the shit punched in by Big Corpo. But then Big Corpo has the advantage to punch someone else, which is what we're seeing here. As you mentioned, like the Nemesis system in Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor are dope. But the second that the team at Monolith and EA locked down the patent for that Nemesis system, no one has used it, which sucks because that was such a cool idea that they aren't even using. Mm. However, I think we're in a world where there is so much crossover in ideas and themes and thoughts in the video game space. I imagine there's a lot of things that infringe on somebody else's patent, but it all comes down to discretion. Like they're like, eh. Like the example, like I think at some point in some time, someone could have put a patent on Team Deathmatch, but they didn't, so it became readily available. And if anyone was to do it now, they'd be like, "Are you an idiot?" No. And I think having not read the patent that is highlighted. Like, it can't just be as simple as catching an object with another object. That is too vague. But it could also be exactly that vague. Because a patent, like, because an object catching an object is a thousand things. So it baffles me that patent would have even been approved because of its vagueness.
Mm.
That's just me. In short, patents are cool. for what their original purpose, but as they were bastardized in general, like people owning patents to things they don't fucking give a shit about, and then they just wait and sit on it until someone can jump in and they can mess with people. It's the same as like trademarks and stuff as well. I think there's a whole group of fucking nonsense about it. You having a quick Google to see if you can find the specifics?
Yes.
Sweet.
It is patent number blah, 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 JP7545191B1. It's essentially a fucking capture mechanic. Obviously, I would like a translated version, please, so it's not in fucking Japanese.
But yeah, once again, the challenge is like that crosses with so many other things, like whatever. All right. Again, so this one, the next thing they announced was the a remastered collection of Luna. Or Luna, I don't know. Never played them. You ever played them, Max? Because they do seem up your alley, no?
They do seem up my alley, but no, I've never played them before.
Oh, there you go. They also announced some DLC. Here we go. Yep, bye-bye.
The previously mentioned pattern number 7545191 appears to, in essence, be about the mechanic of catching Pokemon. It describes in extremely simplified terms the following process. Aiming a capture item at a character placed on the field, releasing the captured item in a direction determined by player input, and judgment of whether capturing is successful or not upon contact between the capture item and the Pokemon, changing of the Pokemon status to owned by player when capture is successful.
Okay, that is general, but it is more specific than capturing an object with an object.
In addition, the pattern also covers the mechanic of having capture probability displayed to the player, regardless of whether it uses colors, graphics, and or numbers.
Okay.
Because obviously, when you throw the PAL sphere at the PAL, it comes up with a percentage of possibility of capture.
Yep. Okay. With that extra framework, yeah, I get it. Like, that doesn't impact the examples that you use. That doesn't impact using nets. That doesn't, you know, like, it's there. Like, when you read that, that reads as catching something with a Pokeball. We saw it in the... It's what the animes do. It's what the game does. Like, it's clear as fucking day that that's that. So, I get it. Yeah. Good work. Well done, Nintendo. And, like, the question, as you said, like, you know, it's done after. Like, yeah. Because, like, Nintendo, they're petty, but they're not dumb. So, I think they would have... When they saw Pal World, then they looked at their lawyers and went, hey. And they went, all right, let's start digging. So, they just started poking around because they can't just, you know, it would be dumb for a company to walk up and go, hey, lawsuit, like, we're gonna sue you, like, what have you got, what are you gonna do? They needed to have all the arrows in their quiver so they can capture them, and they can capture them, and a little status symbol will light and go, Nintendo has caught Power World. Wait and see, I guess. But yeah, I'm not gonna play it. I was vaguely interested in it when it launched. Not even remotely interested in it now. Yeah, TMT Shredder's Revenge is getting some DLC. That's out now as well. Next thing was Sonic X Shadow Generations. The big doohickey here was that Keanu Reeves' VO for Shadow is in the game. Unsure whether it's just pulled clips from the movie or it's custom audio for the game. But also, who the fuck cares? The next
comes out in December.
The next one was Fantasian Neo Dimension. That is coming December 5th in 2024. I forget what that one was. What was that one? Was that a Max game?
That's the Final Fantasy game that came to Apple Arcade only. And it's a game played on actual live shot dioramas.
Oh, yeah, that one. Visually, looked sick. I ain't going to play it. But look cool.
Put the shit out of it.
Next up was one that I know you're probably keen for, is Dragon Age The Veil Guard. That once again, reaffirming, is coming out October 31st, 2024. I'll give you a minute. Like, I watched this and I went, this is doing absolutely nothing for me. Like, it looked... like, I watched it and it looked like a bunch of things happened, but also nothing fucking happened. And I couldn't give... any shits. I wanted to, but nothing got me.
I'm in this really hard situation. So Dragon Age kicked off with Dragon Age Origins, which I fucking adored. Loved that game. And then they went to Dragon Age 2, hot garbage, absolute trash. They went from this massive, sprawling, open-world RPG to, like, we're going to lock you in this fucking city and it's going to fucking suck this entire fucking time.
Origins was, like, a hardcore RPG, too.
Yeah. And then they're like, hey, we're going to do Inquisition, one game of the year that came out.
Yeah, it's just Skyrim with Dragon Age.
I can't get through it. I don't know what it is. Mm. Love the game. I get to the same point every time. I've tried to play this game like 4 or 5 times. I get to the same point. It's like,
what's the point?
Do it for me. I create my Inquisition.
Okay.
Nah, I'm done now.
Yeah, okay. No, I feel that.
But this is a direct sequel to fucking Inquisition, isn't it? So there is stuff out online. A lot of people have done preview stuff for it. There was a big preview, I think, 2 weeks ago where people got to go play like 8 hours of what appears to be chapter one. I'm concerned because some of the later gameplay portions of it that were still in chapter one, they were like level 40. I'm like, fuck, how big is this game if I get a level 40 in the first chapter? With this being a big RPG, your choices matter in these games. Because it's a direct follow-on, Dragon Age Inquisition, if you have a save file, it will carry across some of your decisions that you made in that game will affect this world. Only 3 of them affect the world. So it's not a big deal if I just jump into this. It's like fucking fresh.
Yeah.
But it looks great. I'm super keen.
I disagree. I don't think it looks good at all.
It looks like they fixed a lot of the problems that I had with the last game. They've revamped combat from what I saw. Looked great. It's a bummer. I hear that they've taken out tactical mode where you kind of make it a turn-based game, similar to like Baldur's Gate or something like that, which is a shame. You also can't control your party members anymore. They just fucking fight on their own accord, but they're also gods. They can't die. They don't have health anymore. So in theory, you could like just run around in circles, and as long as you dodged everything, your teammates would eventually kill everything because they can't die, which I find hilarious. But yeah, I'm super keen for this game. I want to love this game, and I hope I do.
Like, I was open to it. As I meant, like, all the back end stuff you've mentioned, like change of combat system, whatever, that's fine. None of that was highlighted in the trailer. In the trailer, it was clearly a tone set piece, and it was, and then visually, it's like having seen Origins. Having seen Inquisition, where they did go a more realistic approach, like it looked really, really good. This looked like Fortnite fuckery. Like all the characters are kind of real, but softer. Like it doesn't have that realism that had been previously provided. It's kind of, yeah, it looked like it got Saints Row. You know what I mean? And for that reason, I'm like, ugh.
Like, I'll take one for the team. I'll play it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Like, but yeah, like the softification of it that, you know, so many games have received is just gross.
Yeah.
Next up was Alan Wake 2, the next DLC, which is coming out in October, so this month, because this goes up on the first. It is called The Lake House, yeah. So the idea is that the Federal Bureau of Control, their presence in Alan Wake world. Don't forget where they are. Manor Lakes.
At first, I'm like, this is fucking Control 2. This is the tits. This is what I wanted. And then they're like, Alan Wake. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. I got to play Alan Wake. But did like, once hear, again, PS5 Pro looks sweet.
Don't even. It plays at fucking 30 frames per second on PS5 Pro. Well. So, no, what's the point? Can't get 60. Don't talk to me. did you see that the guys who do it, Remedy, have taken a $15 million loan from fucking Tencent?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Rough.
And Tencent's like, if you can't pay us back, we'll just give us more shares. So I think they already own like 10% of...
Yeah, well, that's capitalism and that's business, you know, isn't it awesome? Next up, Hitman VR, the World of Assassination. So it's I believe it's, just Hitman in VR.
Yeah, looked all right.
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Snap some necks.
Yeah, this one's like, you have to get up. Like I wonder, the game looks suited for VR. Yeah. It looks fun. Because I know they, I think this Hitman 3 had a VR mode, but you had to use the DualShock. It's because on PSVR 1. So it didn't quite have that appeal. But like, so if I can walk up and literally fucking piano wire some guy, or I have to put a mask
give him,
on.
Give him a swirly in the toilet.
Yeah, if I can like give some guy a wedgie in VR and then shoot the back of his brain out, like that would be fun. But also, like, the little detail, you know, like when you have to wash your hands, you got to, like, boom, boom, you know, that looks fun. Looks awesome. Next up was, it was leaked the day before, which was a bummer, because I think it would have had a really good pop had it not leaked. That was the Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver Remaster Collection.
Oh, mate, it leaked ages ago when they had fucking merch up.
But like that, you could have got away with that. It was a big old leak, but it was kind of like not a leak. But this is exactly, this is fucking bang on leak. I never played this more, because I had access to a demo of it on PS1, and I played the living fuck out of that demo, but I never played the game in full.
I played the first game, not the second one.
And I think it's one of the most well-regarded PS1 games I've ever heard.
Yeah. Amy Hennig title, I'm pretty sure.
That is correct. It was one of the first things she worked on before Uncharted, etc. Are you keen?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, me too. That's coming through Crystal Dynamics and Aspyre, and that is dropping on December 10. Next up was Fear the Spotlight. It's a Blumhouse Games, very PS1 sort of look.
PS1 horror game, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, not quite like the example that, you know, I forgot the game existed, not in a mean way. It was in Sacred. They're like, it's like not, it's a PS1 inspired horror title, but not like Crow Country. It feels a little bit more like late PS1, like early PS2, because it's a bit smoother, like, but the sentiment is there. The next one was, I'm positive we've seen this at a previous show, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. It's not on the list, Max.
Is it on your list?
It is on my list, but I don't know how to say it. So, Towers of Agzbar?
Yeah, that's that one that I thought you were going to be really into, because it's just a fucking life simulator, life farming sim.
I'm open to it, but when you asked me, I'm like, I don't know, because I think it was I thought it was Hell is Us. I'm like,
we have definitely seen it in a previous showcase.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'll give it a bell. Why not? Dynasty Warrior Origins from Koei Tecmo is coming January 7th, 2025. I've never been a big fan of Musou's.
Yeah, I've fallen. I used to love Dynasty Warriors, but I haven't played it in fucking ages. And I'm
looking forward to, though, because like majority from recollection, the last major moose, like the Dynasty Warriors, have been on Switch, and their chugs like a mess. So I think having this come to PS5 should be really fucking cool. From a power perspective. We're heading home now. Lego Horizons got its date of November 14th. So I'm going to play the crap out of this game. The tone was weird. Like, it's a Lego game, so it gave it that real Lego tone. And that it was quite a juxtaposition to what we know Horizon to be. Still going to play it, though.
Zero care.
That's fair.
I like Horizon, but like, I just, yeah.
Do you like it enough to play the Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered coming October 31st?
No.
I'd play it again. I enjoyed it. I loved it.
I played it once. I'm done with it. I need to get through Forbidden West. What's dodgy is that they've doubled the fucking price of Horizon since that announcement.
The game was fucking free in during COVID. Shut up. If no one has it now, shut up. Like, it was literally free to everyone just by having a PlayStation. You got Zero Dawn for free.
Like, is that version the upgradable version?
Yes. Yes, it is. They said every fucking version of the game is upgradable. Oh, really? $10 upgrade US, probably like 15, 20 bucks for us.
Yeah.
The things that caught my attention in this, obviously it looks fantastic, but Horizon Zero Dawn looked fine already. The key things that they mentioned, and having, when I replayed Zero Dawn a couple years ago, and then playing Forbidden West, the dialogue in Zero Dawn, like the stand there, and it's that real old Assassin's Creed, like to and fro, sucked. It wrecked it. It made all the conversations feel so inorganic. When they mentioned that we've re-recorded dialogue, we've reshot, you know, essentially reshot how that works, I'm like, yes. Now, yes, fantastic. Zero Dawn didn't need upgrades in a lot of ways, but that, it totally did. And what
does that mean we're going to have a new voice for, Thingo?
Who?
Well,
Aloy.
No.
Aloy's oh, for Silence.
Yeah, for Silence, yeah.
No, I reckon they can just rework it, I suppose. Like, just give him a bit more, like, use his, fucking motion capture and stuff from Forbidden West, I assume. It's interesting to see everyone's like, why do we need this? I'm like, no, we don't need this at all. So therefore, don't buy it if you don't want to. Like, what do you fucking do? But with its close timing to LEGO Horizons, I feel like this is one of those scenarios of, oh, I'll buy this game for my kid and I'll play this for me. Kind of has that potential, like, mixed energy, which is cool. Stellar Blade DLC is getting a photo mode for those of you that just, you know, can't pull your dick to normal people. It also got a Nier Automata. I've been saying Automata for years, but it is Automata. So 2B is getting in there because that's another character that you people will jerk off to. So if you're some weird fucking deviant who's never touched a woman, Stellar Blade photo mode, get up there. I saw this week that the Stellar Blade team released a patch that fixed their boob physics and has correct wind for her skirt. So they really got their priorities right. They're fucking.
I heard this week that they're getting sued by a movie company called Stellar Blade.
I did see that too, and that's funny, but that's not going to go. That's not going to go anywhere. So. Next up, they announced more new covers, the plates and DualSense controllers. They announced Indigo, Pearl, and Teal. I was very confused because that Indigo looked fucking blue to me, and that Teal did not look like Teal. Teal looked fucking green as hell. So I know I'm blue-green shade colorblind, so I have to assume that the Teal looked more blue-green. Just not to me and my dumb eyes. Would I buy these? No, not really. The Pearl is kind of like a white, but it's like an off-white and like a creamy white. I don't know why the hell you want a creamy white controller, but sure.
It's white.
Yeah. PS5 Pro got itself a little showcase, just sort of announcing a bunch more titles that are getting supported. But the big one, the boom, the mic drop at the end, which I didn't see coming. I knew the game was coming at some capacity. I didn't expect to see it here. I expected more Death Stranding 2, if anything. Instead, we end with a sequel to Ghost of Tsushima. Oh yeah, we also got the PS Plus games, WWE 2K24, Hell Yeah, Play It, Dead Space, Hell Yeah, Play It, Doki Doki Literature Club, I've heard great things. And then Dino Crisis and another Legacy of Kain game is coming. But yeah. Sequel to Ghost of Tsushima, not called Ghost of Tsushima 2. It is called Ghost of Yotei or Yotai. I'm not sure. It is set hundreds of years after Tsushima, different region. 500 years.
Yep.
You are not playing as Jin Sakai because if he could live 500 years, that'd be insane. You are playing some other samurai bird. And I say bird because it's a woman and everyone collectively shit themselves because who wants female-led games unless I can look up their skirts or whatever. So, and then on top of that, like Erika Ishii, who has been confirmed as the voice actress for it, she's been receiving nothing but like shit on the internet, which is frustrating to me because she's just doing a fucking job. Max, as you are someone that really loved Ghost of Tsushima.
Loved Ghost of Tsushima.
Did you get all keen for this?
Yep, looks great.
Like, looks absolutely the fantastic. Landscapes of this looked crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad they've moved away from Jin. Jin's story seemed complete. New area, new person, makes sense. The first thing that popped in my head was like, man, I hope they do another raid like they did in the first one, because that was insanely good content. Yeah, I'm keen to play it. It looks amazing. Sucker Punch did an absolutely fantastic job with Ghost of Tsushima. I was lucky enough to receive a code a couple of months back for Ghost of Tsushima on PC, and it'll look even better than it did when it came out on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, I'm super keen. Can't wait. I have no problem with a female protag. But we'll get around it.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. I'm like, okay. As long as the story is cool, sweet. And like the problem that I had with Ghost of Tsushima, and it was purely me, is that I just don't dig samurais. I just don't care for that like feudal Japan stuff.
You have no honor.
I have no honor. Same as Rise of the Ronin. Like,
yeah,
you know. But like visually, Tsushima was mint. I enjoyed fanging around. You know, all the little subtle things that they did. Like, so the landscapes in this looked fantastic. It was awesome. Super, super keen. I guess we'll find out more in time when we get a bit more about this from Sucker Punch. No date, which tells me at best case scenario, back end of next year, maybe. Come
on, drop a February right on top of fucking Assassin's Creed Shadow.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, let's get into the next piece of news. I threw my fucking notepad away, and I shouldn't have, because I still need to take down notes for the next thing we're talking about.
Let's talk about digital ownership, Ryan.
Okay.
Now that PlayStation is selling its consoles with no disc drives. So this won't affect us at the moment. It may affect us in the future. So a newly signed Californian law known as AB 2426 will require that digital storefronts operating within the American state, which, if it were a country, would have the fifth largest economy in the world, tell its customers that they are licensing goods and not purchasing products. Sony obviously does a lot of business in California, with several of its first-party studios located there, and this may mean it will be restricted from using misleading terms like purchase or buy for digital products on the PlayStation Store. AB 2426 will come into effect next year, and it has some interesting implications. If, for example, Sony wants to use terms meant to convey that the consumer owns a purchased digital good, it will need to obtain an acknowledgement from the consumer or provide a clear statement that the product is really a license that can be revoked. Failing to do so would make Sony subject to a fine for false advertising. In a press release, Assembly member Jackie Irwin said of the new law, quote, AB 2426 will ensure the false and deceptive advertising from sellers of digital media incorrectly telling consumers that they own their purchases becoming a thing of the past, end quote.
It's, okay, so like, first of all, did everybody not know that you don't own it? Like, it's a license until they tell you they don't. Like, we all know this, right? Like, my assumption, that's common fucking knowledge. Like, should the government get involved? Yeah, probably from a false advertising standpoint. But this doesn't, the key issue with digital ownership isn't that they told us that we bought it. It's that they can revoke it at any time. This law doesn't fuck with that. It doesn't change the fact that they can pull it at any time. There's no repercussions from them, like Concord, you buy a game and they fucking pull it from you in 2 weeks. The law does not stop them from doing that. So I like the idea, but what will it achieve?
Frivolous lawsuits.
Cool, great, because that's what we need in this world right now, Max. Not you know, we have, you know, real estate bubbles that are fucking stupid.
I think it's one of those things, you know, that
it's the least of the concern, especially in California. Let me tell you, least of their fucking concerns.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, because obviously here in Australia, the ACCC like fucks people hard for the consumer. So for instance, when we buy digital games in Australia, getting banned on digital games is a real touchy subject, because you can't, because here you quote unquote bought it, you have the right to use that product regardless. There's been issues in the past with that. So obviously this would straighten up that and give them the ability to revoke your license as opposed to your purchased good.
Oh, so in other words, it's not empowering the consumer, it's empowering the company.
Yes,
because if PlayStation can now revoke and go, hey, it was a license and we pulled it.
Yeah, obviously.
So,
and it gets them out of that sticky situation of like, oh, we bought all this stuff, but now that it's been sold elsewhere, we don't own any of our stuff. Like when mergers happen, they're like, oh, we're not going to provide this service anymore. And everyone's like, well, we fucking bought all this shit and now we can't use it. Because obviously it happened when, what was it? Fucking, which digital storefront just disappeared that everyone owned their movies and then they got bought out by some other company.
Oh, like, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember the ones, yeah.
This service anymore, fuck you. And they're like, well, we own that shit. Well, no, you don't.
Yeah.
But that therein lies the technicality of you're not making a purchase of an item, you're making a purchase of a license, and they're obviously just putting that in to be, like, to make it crystal clear to people of, like, hey, this is not a forever purchase. This is a, hey, you will own this until we can't. It no longer benefits us to supply you with this license. And then you have the likes of GOG come out and be like, no, you buy your stuff. It is all DRM free from us. If you buy it, it is yours forever.
Yeah, GOG is pretty good that way. Shout out to GOG.
So, like, it's that thing of, like, some digital storefronts, you do purchase your goods and you do get to keep them from it forever. Some digital storefronts are only selling you a license. The problem is no one tells you that.
Mm. But difference...
It's buy now. It's buy product now. It's not buy license. It's not buy digital key. It's you're buying the item.
Yeah, I think that's why it says purchase, purchase.
And I think that's what... Well, purchase and buy are synonymous.
Yes, but they're clearly not, because you can purchase a license. You can buy a license too. But I think that's... Once again, if you look at from... If you want to get... If they're getting this nitpicky, then they need to look at that word. But, you know, they're going to... I know that I'm very, like, pessimistic and nihilistic in a lot of ways, especially about this industry. And I'm like, this doesn't fuck, like, if this
this definitely doesn't help us as consumers.
No.
But it will make people more informed of their decision and be like, hey, maybe this all digital future is something that we don't want.
But I mean that in general, right?
Maybe this is something that I buy physically.
But I mean that in general. We don't own shit in general. Really. Nothing. Like, once again, good old capitalism, they find ways to fuck you. We don't own shit. Like, there are very few things that we as customers, as people own. And then on top of that, our keenness and eagerness to disregard ownership or whichever for convenience, Spotify, Netflix, you know, and then now PlayStation, your Xbox, whichever. And especially with something like PlayStation or Xbox, where GOG has the ability to do that because they use a relatively open source platform. For PlayStation, you're buying a PlayStation, you use the PlayStation store, you buy a PlayStation, they control all of it. And anyone that thinks different is fucking damaged in the head. Whoever one truly thought they owned anything they bought on PlayStation baffles me. Baffles me. Because I'm in the same boat, right? How many games do you and I have that are shared on the Popsy account?
Mm.
If they revoke licenses, every game that you and I have played for the last... How many years have I been doing this show? 6 years, 7 years? Near every game I've played in the last 7 years would be gone.
Mm.
And I could never get them back. But that's part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
I know that. I make that choice. I could still buy a game physically, but I don't. It's a tough one. Tough one. Not for me. I think it's fucking stupid, but... I think my response is very much of a just... It comes from a lot of just straight giving up. It's a fight that we can't fight and or win. So, yeah. All right, well, that's... look, sometimes there are things that will just happen even if you don't want them to, and that includes getting more Horizon games. So Bloomberg journalist Jason Schreier has appeared on Spawncast, where he got caught up in a conversation about Gorilla's current plans. There are obviously quite a lot of Horizon on the way this year, as we mentioned with the remaster, Lego, and that and what was that Netflix series coming at some point? Yeah. But what will come after those two is what Schreier was asked. He mentioned, quote, Horizon Online is their next product, not the third single player game. Not the third single player game looks like. So that one may be ways off, he says. He continues, quote, PlayStation Live Service Initiative was no joke. Everybody was like, it's live service games all round. Horizon is one of the few ones that hasn't been cancelled or hasn't come out and flopped the way of the Concord did. And so, yeah, a lot of questions, a lot of people are working on that. Okay, so coincidentally, a game that one of the live services that wasn't cancelled, this is editorial, is a franchise that the head of Worldwide Studios had a direct hand in. Huh. It's probably worth adding some context, though. To the best of the knowledge, Horizon Online has been in development since around 2018, when Killzone veteran Simon Lerouche returned to the Dutch studio to lead production on a multiplayer title. This means the project is probably pretty close to completion. Horizon Forbidden West, meanwhile, released in 2022, so its single-player successor is likely still in early pre-production. It makes sense then, and the bulk of Gorilla's development force will be focused on the multiplayer game for now. Now, this doesn't surprise me. There is footage out there, I've seen it, you've seen it, of what looked to be the multiplayer for Horizon. It is what's the name of the team? It'll come to me. But apparently it's like Monster Hunter, essentially. It's just Horizon Monster Hunter. As someone who does love their Monster Hunters, Max.
Well, I put this in our chat before. I'm like, you know, this is once again Sony coming into a space, into a genre where games already exist and have existed for the longest time. You have the likes of Dauntless. You have the likes of, obviously, Monster Hunter. You have EA's... what was it called? Wild Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
What does Sony do differently to not have another Concord situation? They're late to the party once again. I would imagine that this is going to have a buy-in cost again. Now, granted, Dauntless is the only free-to-play of that type, but what does Sony do here to stand out? Or is it just a sense of, like, give the people Horizon? We're giving it to them in every other shape or form. They must love Horizon. Oh, how could this possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Where the fuck is it? It's
you're looking for the team that was supposedly working on it.
Yeah,
wasn't it NCSoft?
NCSoft. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Okay. My brain kept saying NetEase. I'm like, it's not NetEase, but it starts with N. NCSoft. As I sort of snarkily alluded to, like, it's very funny that, like, out of all the live service games that have been cancelled, yeah, Herman Holst, who was the creative director on Horizon, at least Horizon Zero Dawn, was the former head of Gorilla, now in the position of Worldwide Studios head and also CEO, co-CEO, co-president, I should say, sorry. After the news of Concord and, like, his heavy ass involvement in that title and, like, being the one that pushed it forward, even though it was clearly fucking broken, to now find out, even though I'm going to play this game, don't get me wrong, but to find out that, like, out of all those games, this one's still kicking, it really shows, like, this whole Nepo baby sort of feel from Herman. I like him. I think he's been great. But, like, Am I like tinfoil hatting? I think I am, but
yeah, who knows? It could be just the fact that there's less games in this space versus survival game of Last of Us multiplayer.
But I mean, in general, in terms of the first party space, there has been such an ungodly push for Horizon to be something.
Yeah, it's because I think it's just one that they think it's going to be one of their main pillars. I mean, they did the same thing with Last of Us. I think Last of Us has like 17 different fucking versions at this point.
Mm.
Season 2 is coming out soon.
But it's still only got like, two just, games. You know what I mean? Like,
so does Horizon, kind of. Well, no, technically three if it's three, VR.
So three with VR, four with Lego. And then, of course, the remake, which I didn't count multiple games for the remakes for Last of Us.
Yeah, so but then you see Last of Us 2, Last of Us Part 1, Part 2, yeah. Remastered fucking version 3.25786
Disney. Over 2 days or whatever, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, yes, I personally, I'm gonna play it. It looks cool. I think it might be it might be a way to get me into those, Monster Hunter style titles. They coming together, taking down big boss and things. That sounds rad. But like, Monster Hunter wouldn't get me this much.
But like,
oh Jesus Christ, I needed that like an hour ago. But thank you.
But like, I don't want to be taking down the monsters that I took down in Horizon Solo. Like, are you gonna give me new shit to do?
True.
Or am I taking down Thunderjaws with randos that I could do solo, that I have done solo in the single-player game? Have you just made them health sponges, so it's just harder to take them down, therefore you need that assistance from other people? Are you just forcing us to do co-op?
Or is Aloy just some girl boss who's super overpowered? Is she like some Mary Sue, and then everyone else is a shit, and we're all playing shit people?
You're playing B-Loy.
B-Loy. Love that. All right, this is going real long. So let's get into the quick bits.
Yeah, super stoked we started at fucking 7:30. quick bits. Assassin's Creed Shadow has been delayed into February of next year.
So this is an interesting thing. So all previews and hands-on have been pulled, including at PAX Oz, where this was like Ubisoft's big selling point. Go hands-on with Shadows. 2 weeks out, no chance.
Yeah. Real shame. I was looking forward to
it. I do wonder how fucked it is. Like, when this was meant to come out in, like, what, a month?
Yeah, no, in, like, 2 weeks.
How fundamentally broken? Because I don't think it's gone gold either, right? So, like, what is busted? Because this late in development, a six-month delay... is not going to change.
It was originally story. Available November 15th, so a month away.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, are they going to go in and change all the Black Samurai stuff? And they're like, no, are you fucking shitting me? They can't do that in 6 months.
No, they saw how fucked the fucking Star Wars game was, and they went, we need to fix this.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, but, like, it's a different game.
Yeah, but, like... if your engine's fucked, the engine's fucked. Like, you know, is that...
Yeah, but once again, if their engine's fucked, you know...
Yeah.
You know a lot more than a month out from release.
Yeah, sure.
The Jason Schreier report on whatever fuck happens to Shadows, give it to me. I want to know.
Yeah, it was originally due out in November. Crazy. Next up, one that I saw at Xbox's showcase at TGS. Bleach Rebirth of Souls is dropping early 2025. Hopefully it's going to line up when the anime season ends, because the anime kicks off this weekend and will run through till about January. So if they end the anime, like, hits the game. Like,
because and the new Bleach is they're
celebrating like their 20th anniversary this weekend when the season drops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. We've been getting trailers for like the last 3 months. Originally, I'm like, it's not going to drop on its anniversary because it's right when fucking Dragon Ball Z is dropping, and there's no way Bandai is dropping two anime games on the same weekend, because that's just fucking ridiculous.
No chance.
And lastly, Black Myth Wukong has sold 20 million units in a month.
Checks out.
Is it going to get snubbed at Game of the Year like Hogwarts Legacy?
I don't know.
Is there too much? Is there too much bed press?
There wasn't enough diversity for a game about monkeys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got no games list this week either.
What do you mean? Fucking, like, Until Dawn comes out this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, Silent Hill comes out this week. Until Dawn comes out in like 2 days, and I'm pretty sure I said that last week.
I think he did, actually.
I can't fucking count to seven. Hang
See,
on.
I haven't heard shit about Until Dawn at all.
I'm so keen to play it again.
I want to play it so bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't heard anything.
I also want to play it on PC.
I haven't heard it. I haven't sent any emails. Like, who do we have to yell at? Like, kindly?
Okay. All right. October 1st, we're getting Master Detective Archives Raincode Plus coming to PS5.
The hell is that?
I don't know. Throne and Liberty comes out tomorrow as well, PS5. Mm-hmm. Big MMORPG, so we can. Kill Knight, great game, coming PS5 October 3rd. I played this as part of the Steam Fest demo thing.
Oh, yeah?
It's a roguelike hack and slash, just endless kill shit until you die.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We've got Mech Warrior 5 Clans coming to PS5, PS4 October 3rd. SpongeBob SquarePants The Patrick Star Game comes out on PS5, PS4 on October 4th. Until Dawn comes out on PS5 on October 4th. And Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred comes to PS5 October 8th, along with Silent Hill 2.
Woo! God damn, I'm keen for Silent Hill. Like, holy shit, am I keen?
Yeah, fucking Dragon Ball and Metaphor drop on the same day, October 11th, Friday, PAX Friday.
Yeah.
I think I pointed out this month is fucked for games I actually want to play.
Because
obviously let's have a look. It's Throne of Liberty tomorrow, Kill Knight 2 days later, Until Dawn on the 4th, Diablo, Silent Hill, Dragon Ball, Metaphor... Unknown 9 Awakening comes out October 18th. We've got Call of Duty Black Ops 6 coming out October 25th. Dragon Age coming out October 31st. Like, that's 10 titles. And they're all beefy bastards too.
You're gonna have to make a short list, Max.
No. I don't want to. I will play all the things. I just won't sleep. That's what I'll do. I just won't sleep.
Remember that other couple weeks where you didn't really sleep that well? That didn't do good for you.
I mean, to be fair, like I'll purchase Diablo and I'll play it as I play it.
Diablo's an easy one. I think for you.
Throne of Liberty is a free-to-play MMORPG that I'll just play as I play it. Like, a lot of these are just...
Yeah, my two were Until Dawn and Silent Hill. Everything else, okay.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah. I'll play it, but I'm like, it's not... Once again, if I had to make a short list, which is what I'm saying, my short list is Until Dawn and Silent Hill. Will I play Sparking Zero? Yes.
Okay, look, if I'm making a short list, it's Metaphor and Dragon Age.
Yeah. Like, Metaphor, I'm like, that does sound rad. But, once again, if I have to weigh up my time...
Ugh, adulting.
Yeah, and speaking of weighing up time, Jesus Christ, we've kept you guys around for long enough.
I'm going to leave for work in 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's close this bad boy up. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Really much appreciated. Let's get out of here.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below. And guess what? Fucking Daylight Savings Time kicks in next weekend. I can't wait to fuck up all those times.
Oh, can't wait. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Schipper.
And that was For the Players.